basketball, Jones. Got a basketball, Jones. Got a basketball, Jones.
And a basket here. This place goes crazy.
And
one.
This game comes down to fundamentals.
Oh, my goodness. Sorrentine hit that one from the parking lot.
All right, welcome everyone to episode 9, I think. I'm already like JJ, where I'm just not counting numbers, and Mikey's not here to tell me. Of Storm the Court podcast, Barstool Reeks here, joined by Iowa's Barstool Trent. Trent, how you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. We are in basketball season, so we're not going to talk about last weekend. Although I was fully, I think, as me and you've talked on Twitter, fully on board the Iowa board train. So now we're on the Fran McCaffrey train.
Yes.
I've been a Fran fan for a while. I know you have. And I believe you have a backstory with Fran, if I remember correctly, from your early days.
Yeah, he's actually first he's turned the program around after the dark years that were the Licklider years. And we don't even talk about the Licklider years. But then Fran, he's one of the main reasons I got the job at Barstool. I made a shirt with his face on it a couple of years. I forget what year it was. It would have been 2 years ago now. Made a shirt with his face on it, black and yellow. Sold a shit ton of them locally. Because that was right when football was kind of on a downturn. They're 7-5 every year. Everybody wanted Ferentz fired. This year that just happened was completely unexpected. So you can feel it locally when it shifts from football to basketball. You can just kind of sense it. And I thought, I've started my own blog. I kind of want to get the word out. So I made these Fran shirts, called them Fran Face shirts. They sold really well. I got a cease and desist letter from the University of Iowa because they don't like it when you have a better idea than them and you make money off of it. And so I emailed Barstool asking them what they do when they get shut down with a shirt with somebody's likeness on it. And that kind of got the ball rolling, talking to Dave Portnoy, and then got the job.
So, obviously, for those listening, Fran McCaffrey, the head coach of Iowa basketball. Now, we had Trent on this week. Because of a rivalry, maybe not many people outside of our beloved Midwest know, which is Iowa State. Mm-hmm. So, Trent, from a local level, you mentioned, you know, you can feel the shift from football to basketball. What's that rivalry like within, you know, you obviously hear about Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, Louisville, Syracuse, Georgetown, you know, all those big rivalries. What's it like within Iowa, between Iowa, Iowa State? You know, there's definitely hatred there.
Oh, yeah. It's a pretty big deal, especially recently with the emergence of guys like Fran McCaffrey as a legit figurehead for the program of Iowa, and not anymore, but Fred Hoiberg. Having those two and kind of resurrecting the programs, they both did it in different ways. Kind of Hoiberg with his recruitment style, Fran with his. And it is a big deal. Since Iowa State has been so good, like nationally ranked top five, maybe Iowa fans won't tell you that it's such a big deal. But when they play, like they're going to play on Thursday,
yeah,
it'll be, I mean, talking shit. It's just as big locally, we think, as like a North Carolina Duke thing. I know, like you said, nationally it's not that big a deal, but I've gone to a couple games you go to on the road. Like I'll go to Ames for a basketball game.
How far is Ames from Iowa City?
It's about 2 hours.
Okay, so you're relatively close. You're not going.
Oh yeah, like when the game, if it's at Carver or if it's at the Hilton Coliseum.
Yeah.
Fans from, you go, you travel. Okay. And you just talk shit. It's great. Hilton's crazy. Like I don't like to give Iowa State much credit, but that when that place gets rocking, Hilton Magic is bananas.
So you've been there to Hilton for a Iowa State game,
or just in general? Yep. I was going back to these shirts again, when I was promoting or trying to advertise these shirts to sell, I was like, fuck it, get a bunch of my buddies, put a bunch of these shirts on, and let's roll. So I went there a couple years ago. Hawks got beat. It was a great game. But yeah, it's a hostile environment. I know all of us Midwesterners are nice and we're laid back or whatever, but Iowa State is a big deal around here for sure.
When you were at Hilton, any lines from fans that stick out that really just insulted you or Iowa? Like you said, you know, everyone, I think, you know, everyone listening to this, for the most part, is east of even where I am in Cincinnati, where everyone hates everybody, and just they see you represent Iowa, where, you know, I think you've been called a big teddy bear more than anyone else. So, you know, this, I think that's the image of Iowa and the Midwest in general.
Yeah.
So no, any lines, any experiences really stick out from when you were traveling or vice versa when people were visiting you guys?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think. And being so that we are, it's a very nice people here. So we might be not as, let's see, what am I trying to say? We might not have the chops like that the East Coast people have. They have all these clever things to say. We're just like, fuck you, or like, go Hawks. It's not, I wish it was more nuanced and we had better things to say to each other, but I'm trying to think of anything that sticks out to me when I've been at Hilton or when we go to, like, if a player was in trouble, if you do some chants.
Because Iowa State's definitely kind of had their fair share of, not troublemakers, but you've had the Marcus Fizers of the world. You have, you know, Jamal Tinsley. Nowadays, you know, Jameel McKay.
Well, part of Hoiberg's recruitment tactic was take a guy who was kind of worn out his welcome.
All transfers, yep.
And that's it. And I mean, you can hate Hoiberg as much as you want. He worked to perfection. But you take a guy who is worn out his welcome somewhere, and you put him in a new environment, and they blossom. So, but even with that, I'm trying to think that I'm not – Hawk fans, we must not be clever enough to really get under their skin in that way.
Who's your least favorite Iowa State player of all time?
That's a good question.
The one guy that just pisses you off more than anyone else.
Niang's doing pretty well.
I could see that. He doesn't look the part.
No, he comes at you. He looks like a normal guy. He lost all that weight before he was overweight, but he's got all these moves in the post that you don't know what he's doing. He's very below the rim, but he still just torches you. And last, when he was at Carver, when they beat the Hawks, or when the Cyclones beat the Hawks at Carver last year, blew a kiss after he hit the bucket that went up. So,
and he's such he looks like he should be playing maybe D-end outside linebacker. Like, he just looks like really – he just doesn't look like a basketball guy.
But then he comes at you and he's got all these post moves.
He's got a triple-double all of a sudden.
Yeah, he's got all these moves that I wish Woodbury had as a 7-1 guy, but Woodbury can't do anything.
Now, when I sent on Twitter today that you were going to be on the show today, speaking of Woodbury and moves, the one thing everyone wants to know, his classic move of poking people in the eyes.
I love it.
You know what? There's nothing illegal about it. It's a foul. It's just a typical.
I'm not going to plead the fifth, but this is a Dan Dokich created controversy.
It is. Dokich loves stirring shit up.
That's his thing, and they kept putting him on Iowa games. I think he works for ESPN. I can't even remember at this point.
Yeah, he's.
But he just kept, and he knew it. It was like Colin Cowherd with this Iowa football season. Once you smell blood in the water, and you can see. That, like, if you want to troll Middle America, they just love doing that. And that's what Dokich did with the Woodbury thing. It happened a couple of times. He kept calling him a dirty player. People kept talking about Dokich, and that's exactly what he wanted. Those early days of Woodbury, he didn't even know what he was doing on the court. I don't think he has any intention to stick somebody in the eye when he can't do anything on a basketball court on purpose.
He looked like a baby deer or like a big puppy who just didn't know how to walk yet.
Yes.
Like, he just looked like he was going to fall over. Maybe he was walking on ice all the time.
Absolutely.
And I think his mechanism was, like you said, I don't think he knew how long he was.
Yeah.
And he's, what, 7'1"? He's legit 7'1". Now he's sticking his hand out there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was against guards maybe both times too. So he even got switched. And now
he's already out of his depth. Right. It's on guards, so... Yeah, Woodbury, talk about a guy. That's like a lottery pick or lottery ticket recruit where you just want a bunch of size, 7'1", and you hope he turns into something great. But it hasn't really gone that way.
He's
been
fine, though. I mean, you can win the Big Ten with Woodbury.
He's like this year he's been a good 10-7 guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, if you had told me that after his freshman year, I would have never believed you. Like you said, he looked like Bambi on ice. He didn't know his own body yet. So... When he first got there, he would put his back to the basket and then turn and throw fastballs off the backboard. So he's gotten some touch now. He's not going to put up – I think when we got him, a lot of people around here thought it would be, this is our guy. Like, he's going to carry us to titles. Not maybe not titles, but it just hasn't panned out that way.
So, you know, you mentioned Iowa, Iowa State, but you're in the Big Ten, so you're kind of separated from who I think your natural rivals would be in Iowa State, Kansas, maybe. Who does Iowa consider, who do you consider as a fan, Iowa's Big Ten rival? Is it Nebraska now that they're in it, or is it somebody else because that's too new?
That feels too new. Trying to think. Big Ten rival. Iowa State, obviously, they're not Big Ten, but.
Right.
They're the big one in terms of rivals. But Big Ten rivals? Maybe Michigan?
Michigan is kind of the team that everyone.
Yeah, everybody kind of gets up for that. Or, no, Nebraska's too new.
Now, what's that like, though, as a fan, where you have a conference, and it's like you said, you're struggling to find a conference rival. You know, what's that like as a fan when conference play comes in? You know, for me, it's a little different, obviously, as a fan of Kentucky, where when Kentucky goes on the road, they sell out every, you know, it's everyone's Super Bowl for the cliche that Calipari always says.
That's true.
But for Iowa, you know, you're not moving the needle as much. You know, you're typically a top 20, top 30 team.
Yeah.
But when teams are coming into Iowa, there's no date that's really circled, like you said. What's that like as a fan?
It's weird. I've never actually thought about it that way. But I think instead of getting up for specific Big Ten teams, I think once you get into the Big Ten schedule, that's what everyone says.
Right.
Then everyone's like, all right, we're into the Big Ten now. We gotta start playing well. But it's never like, oh, Michigan State's coming to town, or blah. It's just all right, we're into the Big Ten schedule now, we gotta play well. It is weird now that we don't really have a rival.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, and I think you could say that about almost anybody in the Big Ten. Like, obviously, you have Michigan State, Michigan, especially with Michigan being good as of late, minus last year. But
yeah,
you know, Michigan, Ohio State basketball doesn't really do anything like football.
Oh, so, no, not even close. Yeah,
it's just, you know, just weird because I grew up, you know, cheering in the ACC. So, you know, I grew up hating North Carolina, Duke, Maryland. Those were rivalries that no matter what, as a Wake Forest fan, you know, that was must-see.
And it's almost like for us, because I grew up watching those same teams, but I wasn't, like, involved in it.
Right.
But, like, when I see, like, a Maryland team, like, that gets me excited because I remember all those old battles.
Right.
So it's like, oh, now they're going to play the Hawks. That almost gets me more excited than any sort of Big Ten rival that can come to Carver.
So what was that like with conference realignment? Because that's another thing that the Big Ten gained with Maryland is now you have a top five team, another top five team in the country. And, yeah, you got Nebraska, whatever, they're there. But that, you know, as a Big Ten basketball fan, you know, it was all driven by football, but as a basketball fan, you get a program like Maryland.
It's a double-edged sword. Like, it obviously ups the profile of the Big Ten having a Maryland in there. But now, I'm kind of going back on what I said, but now we got to play these guys.
Right.
And they are, like you said, they, especially now with guys like Trimble, like they're something you mark on the calendar where, like, that's a game, I mean, now we're probably going to lose.
Right.
So
talking about games, talking about Big Ten play, what's your most memorable game at Carver? Or, a home game for you that you were at that just, hey, if you could relive that one game again, what's the one game you'd want to go?
Oh man. I was at one of the, they played the NIT games on the road, or they played one at Carver. I'm trying to think. I can't even remember who they played, but that was the one. They played in that, like, a final NIT round at Carver.
So it was like the Elite Eight to go to New York?
Right.
Okay.
That was it, yeah. And I can't even remember. Oh, it's escaping me who they played, and that's going to bother me.
What year was it? Do you remember?
It was just like a couple of years. It was – so every year Fran's gotten a little better. So he's NIT, NIT. Oh, boy. It was 3 years ago?
Let's see, 2012. So what stuck out? Just the fact that there was a win.
There was just an energy, like, okay. that really felt when it was finally, like, you could see Fran turning it around. Like I said, it's gotten better every year. He didn't go to any sort of postseason tournament his first maybe 1 or 2 years. Then he got into the NIT, got bounced, And then it was, we went further than the NIT.
You beat Virginia. Oh, no, that was at John Paul Jones. So it would have been Stony Brook in the second round. That was the year you guys lost the NIT championship.
Right. Okay. And whatever game was played at Carver, was the one where it felt like the program was finally turning around.
Yeah, that was a 12-point win over Stony Brook.
That, I mean, on paper, that does not sound
right. You said, though, it's what's been impressive is what Fran has done, turning this around to where you expect Iowa in the NCAA tournament every year. You know,
right? We're
four years ago, you couldn't say that.
Oh my God, no! And yeah, like it's gone up every year. Now we're at a point where we maybe can expect like a 20-win season. And after that year at the NIT, where we went to the final, we got we played Tennessee in a play-in game because we lost six of the seven down the stretch.
Right. Yep.
And then got bounced by Tennessee. And then the next year, which would have been last year, you beat Davidson in the first round, and then we got bounced by Gonzaga.
Right.
So it's every year. It's just
You guys beat Davidson pretty easily, if I remember correctly. Too.
Oh,
right?
Crushed them.
Yeah, it wasn't close.
Aaron White had himself a goddamn second half and just buried him.
That was another question that was asked on Twitter. Now that you mentioned Aaron White, Looking back, now that he's gone, you know, now that he's his 35 years at Iowa have passed, you know, he seemed to catch a lot of heat during his time. At least it was perceived that way, of never really living up to the hype, never getting him over the hump.
Yep.
Looking back on it as a fan, what was your, you know, obviously he is one of the best Iowa basketball players, I think, at least in recent memory.
Easily, yeah.
So
yeah, easily.
What was it like, you know, looking back, what do you think his career was maybe a little overshadowed because of the how much you guys kind of had to come out of the suckiness for the first couple of years he was there?
Yeah, definitely. But when you have years like that, the payoff is even better, and you ride with a guy like Aaron White at the end. So you're like, he's there for those first couple of Fran years. And him and guys like Gable Ashaney, they just – once you get to the end – and that's why the payoff with last year, like beating Davidson and the second half that Aaron White had to blow him out, all the ill will, if there was any – it's more of just like you're going through tough times.
Right.
And you kind of – it kind of builds character. And so anything that people would say against Aaron White now, nobody would – nobody in Iowa City has any bad word to say about him. He's one of the all-time great Hawkeyes. And I mean –
Who is the most locally? Who's the most beloved Iowa player, all time and/or recent memory that at least you kind of think of that way?
All time, up until he recently passed, would have been Roy Marble.
That's what made me think about it. Is you know,
he had like a resurgence locally because Devin played
his son. Yeah, and he was good. His son was really good.
Oh, his son. Yeah, he was a pure scorer.
Right.
He had a cup of coffee with the Magic. I don't know if he's still there or not, but that helped because Roy was always at the games. He was at every home game at Carver. But other than him, Matt Gaetens was a big deal locally.
Okay.
Aaron White is a big deal locally. Those would be the big ones.
Now,
Reggie Evans really, really resonated for some reason, really resonated. I think it was because he was kind of showy, and I wasn't used to that. He'd flex his bicep. People love that shit.
Everyone kind of confused what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that was, I mean, fucking all for bringing a guy like that in and just.
Right.
So, yeah, Evans, Marble for sure. He was huge.
He's the beloved
Aaron
guy.
White, most recently Gaetens, guys like that.
Now, did his son grow up in Iowa? I don't remember. Devin Marble. Did he grow up in Iowa?
I think he's a Detroit kid.
Okay, so he wasn't one of the, you know, stayed around after college, had his son around the area.
No. Yeah, I think he was a Michigan guy.
So now with Fran's team, fast forward into this year, you know, they're off to a good start. Got a real nice win in overtime last week against Florida State.
Yep.
They're led right now by a guy who just he might be the ugliest guy in college basketball.
Who are we talking? Are we talking about Mike Gazelle? Who are we talking about?
I love me Mike Gazelle. I'm talking about Jared Uthoff.
Oh, come on!
Those chompers go for days.
He's a local guy. Like I'm a Cedar Rapids guy. He's a Cedar Rapids guy. I love me some Jared Uthoff, but. Yeah, well, it's not a pretty looking team. You got Uthoff, you got Woodbury, you got Gazelle, and it's not great. no, for, in terms no. of looks, but I like the team.
Now, how many of those guys are local?
Are you still there?
Yeah, are you, yeah, there we go.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm there. You there?
We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
We can edit
it. Yeah. It's not the prettiest batch of guys, that's for sure.
Right. So how many of those guys are local? Are they all predominantly, a lot of them are from at least Iowa, right? Like Woodbury's likes local. To recruit local.
Woodbury's local, Utah's local.
Gazelle has to be local.
Gazelle's local. Yeah, I think he's local. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He looks like he has to be local.
I know. Yeah, he really does. So yeah, it is. It's which helps with some of the losing Aaron White and Gable Shane really hurts. But all of a sudden, all these guys are seniors. Right. Like, I can't believe this. Woodbury's a senior. Gazelle's a senior. Jock is a junior. But it's just all of a sudden, this is like a veteran team. And
they've all played. That's the other thing. Like Gazelle has played forever. Woodbury's played forever. Utah's played forever. Like that's none of them have. It's not like Kaminsky a couple years ago where they sat on the bench the first 2 years, and now as a junior, they're coming out starting and putting up 17 a game.
Like, right.
These names are all been around.
Yeah, and I know. I think you're a Gazelle guy, right? You like him?
Yeah, I think he catches a little more heat than he should. I understand the complaints with him from Iowa fans, where you know he had the end of the game. Take for instance the end of the game against Florida State. Where he, of regulation, I should say. Yeah, where holding for one shot, drives, gets in too late, turns the ball over.
That was bad.
That was bad.
I'm a Gazelle guy, too, though. Right. Like, I think he's, even, like, Utah is going to, he has to take over scoring after Air White leaves. Jock has to do the same thing. They got all guys. A guy like Dom Mule, who's younger, coming off the bench.
Yeah.
But, like, I think Gazelle, as he goes, the team goes. Like, if he's aggressive, If he goes to the basket, I think he creates for a lot of the other guys. I think he can be special.
He doesn't have to score 15 a game. Like if he puts in 8 points,
yeah, that's
just takes care of the ball. I think you're fine.
That's it. Yeah, like 8 points would be good. And we've got Clemens, who I've had an up and down relationship with. He's I don't know. He can be out of control sometimes, but he seemed to calm down a little bit. He's kind of he can run the point, but he's kind of our two guard. I don't mind him. He can hit from three.
Right. So, what is a basketball game day like at Carver in Iowa City? Take away the cupcake games. What's a typical, you know, football, we all know, tailgating, packing, everything like that. Let's say it's a typical, what time's games usually there? 2:30 on a Saturday?
Or this, yeah.
Usually 2:30 on a Saturday. So, walk us through a game day in Iowa City.
Unfortunately, it's... Football overshadows everything, sure. Even if it's – especially a season like this, obviously.
Right.
But the tailgating scene for football is kind of such a madhouse, and it's such a force that there's not much tailgating that goes on before basketball games. It's kind of just show up – and the location of Carver isn't ideal for, like, okay. A tailgate situation. But it's really just kind of show up and go.
So there's not, like, a go-to bar or go-to district beforehand or anything like that?
If you want to, you can go to just about any bar. It's great. The Penn Mall is right. Where everybody goes. Right. There's like 100 bars within 3 blocks. That's what it lacks in tailgating, you can go to a bar and it's pretty wild down there. The Penn Mall would be the best place to go.
Because that's what I've noticed at least throughout the country and games I've gone to. Obviously, there's not really tailgating for basketball because it's usually January and February and no one's fucking crazy enough to stand out there in snow.
Yeah.
But what I have noticed is, especially for stadiums on campus or right across the street from campus, something like that, that there's a certain bar district that takes over the quote tailgating scene.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's close to Carver. Carver and Kinnick are right by each other.
Okay,
but the bars, you got to go a little more downtown.
Right,
but yeah, the Penn Mall is a madhouse for any sort of Hawkeye.
So how big is Carver? Do you know off the top of your head? Like, is it an average size stadium?
Yeah, it seats like 15. It seats 15,000.
Okay, so it's the crowd there. You said it's not hostile. Pretty loud on most games.
Oh yeah. If they can fill that place up, yeah, get the student section going. It's not a corporate crowd or anything like that. It's all local people kind of going wild. It's a good scene. Hilton is just another animal, man. When I went there, I was shocked at how crazy it was. But Carver can get up. Carver can get up.
What's bigger, Carver or Hilton?
You know what? I don't know the size of Hilton. It feels like Hilton, Carver's weird. Carver's a big bowl.
Okay. So it's built all up around it with the stadium under or the floor.
Hilton
under.
Is less like that, so I feel like the acoustics for Hilton, it just that place gets wild.
Yeah, it's crazy seeing the differences. I'm kind of a nerd when it comes to that. I love stadiums. Like, I love going to see new stadiums.
Really?
I love it. I did. I went and saw Cincinnati for the first time, despite living here for 5.5 years this year. Like, I was like, screw it. I had free tickets. I'm going to go see this new arena. Or not new arena. New arena for me. So I love things like that. That's why I'm in, like, especially in a rivalry. Like you said, you know, you go to Hilton. Everyone knows about Hilton Magic. ESPN advertised the shit out of it last year. Especially the Kansas game.
Oh, that was, yeah. I mean, that's a year. What's the best atmosphere you've ever been to?
The best atmosphere I've ever been to?
Mm-hmm.
I went, it might have been last year I went to the last regular season game at Rupp Arena when Kentucky beat Florida to finish regular season undefeated.
Woo!
Just because that was a whole different animal. You know, they had a whole little thing afterward where they put 38-0, they put up the regular season undefeated record.
Yeah.
And everyone just kind of, and it was a close game. Like, it was, I want to say a 2-point game at halftime. Mm-hmm. So everyone was kind of on the edge of their seat. And, like, Florida, Kentucky fans hate Florida. So that was their, obviously, Louisville games.
Yeah.
At Rupp Arena have that little something to it. Yeah. But I remember when I was, maybe 7-8 years old, going to a Wake Forest Maryland game at the old Cold Field House with Joe Smith versus Tim Duncan. Yeah. So my dad went to Wake Forest. So, like, whenever they were there, his brother and cousin my age lived in Maryland. Cousin's a Maryland fan. So we'd go to that. I just remember, I couldn't appreciate it at the time, but it still sticks in my mind. Like,
sure.
Cole Fieldhouse going nuts. Because, again, it wasn't a corporate crowd. It was the early to mid-90s. So you had, everyone just wearing high, skinny jeans that were whitewashed.
Yep.
Screaming their heads off. And little did I know, like, Tim Duncan was going to be a top 5 player of all time.
Oh, he's in.
Right. So that was one of those games where I was like, looking back, I was like, shit, I really wish I was like 25 at that game.
So you could really, like, know what was going on.
Right. So I'm actually, like, I always tell people whenever it's like, oh my God, like, Rupp Arena has to be amazing. The crowd there kind of sucks.
Okay.
So it's massive. It fits 23,000, 24,000.
Holy shit.
So it's huge. Yeah, it's massive. But it's a very corporate crowd, especially at the lower level.
Oh, yeah.
You have a lot of... you have a lot of horse money, first of all.
And then
they bring their clients.
Not a lot of horse money in Iowa. I don't know what the horse crowd is like.
It's, I mean, they're just old, rich white
people. I guess I have watched, like, the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
All just old white people in weird
That's
hats.
Pretty much what they are. But they are hammered off of bourbon 9 out of 10 times.
Oh, sure. I'm sure.
So they put the student section behind one of the baskets. And then a real small section behind the Kentucky bench, and then the upper deck. So they kind of limit the students.
Yeah.
Which makes it – if people get loud when they, like, are supposed to get loud, but there kind of needs to be that thing. Like, they're never – there's no creative chance.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's the Midwest, Mid-South. Everyone's super friendly.
Yep. I know that.
Like, my – you know, I always mimic my buddy from Southeast Kentucky – he's like, hey, fuck you for wearing red, but you know what? I want you to win every game after this. So it's just like, we were there when they played NJIT. I have a cousin who coached a kid in Jersey, so we got tickets. And afterwards, we're hanging out with NJIT coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
1,000 people stood afterwards to listen to the radio show. And as NJIT left, they all stood up and gave him a standing ovation.
Really?
So it's just like, it's a weird crowd, man. Like, I try to tell everyone, like, you'll be impressed with how loud it can get, but you're not going to hear anything crazy. You're not going to – there's never going to be any story about the crowd from Kentucky.
Yeah, like, when you have a crowd that only gets loud, like, when they put, like, get loud on the Jumbotron, never a great sign of, like, of a good crowd.
Plus, it's just – it's hard not to be loud with 23,000 people inside of an arena.
Right, they're gonna be.
Yeah, it's like, I really want to go to Kansas. I think that is probably the best arena if I had to guess, like, where I want to go the most. you know, Maryland fan base gets a rap for being fucking nuts. And
yep.
I mean, shit, look at Nate and Banks. I think they fit the bill pretty well. So, yeah, it's interesting, man. Like, every college is different. Like, it's very cliche to sound to say that. So all right, so heading into Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You're at Iowa State. And one thing I'm glad about, didn't last year, wasn't the game on a Friday? I felt like they buried Iowa State last year.
I think it was on a Friday, if I recall.
Not a lot of people got to watch it. This year, it's on a Thursday.
Yep.
A little bit better. Yeah, you're going against NFL football. Yeah, you're always probably going to lose that, but I think you'll get more views since it's on Thursday as opposed to Friday.
Yeah.
What's your projection? Give me some Trent views here.
I don't feel great. This is a good Iowa State team. That's so obvious to say, but I feel like every position that they have is just their player is better than the Hawks. So I don't feel good about it. If we're in the truth tree, I don't feel good about this game. Like, it's going to be fun. It is one of those things where it's a rivalry game. Anything can happen. That's always the way it is in football. Like, Iowa is almost always better than Iowa State, but more times than not, Iowa State has recently beat Iowa. So hopefully that's kind of going for us. But guys like McKay and Niang and all those guys, they're just monsters that I don't know if Iowa's ready to deal with. As much as I love the team, I love Frank McCaffrey. If I'm being honest with myself, I'm pretty worried about Thursday.
But how do you feel about for the season overall now?
Feel about the season overall? I feel good about it.
I feel better.
I think Utah has stepped up in the right place. I think Jock is really, really coming into his own as like a scorer because we need that. Like I said before, every year with McCaffrey, we've kind of gone up in terms of tournament play. This might be the year where that it's not as great as the year before. But I'm just hoping for an NCAA tournament bid, kind of sneak in there and see what happens. That's really kind of my view.
I think you guys will be fine in terms of at least getting into the tournament. You know, I think you're looking to something maybe similar as last year. Get in as a 7 seed, 8 seed, win your first game, and then you're going up against, you know. But who knows this year? I mean, college basketball is down. And I say down as opposed to last year where you had, you know, monster teams like Kentucky, Wisconsin, Duke, Gonzaga, Arizona. This year, no one's really out there. I mean,
Iowans love this. This is what happened. I can't stop talking about football. It's been on my brain, and that's the only thing I think. But the Iowa teams generally do best with low expectations. Right. So, like, with an Aaron White and a Gable Shady graduating, people are kind of like, we don't know if the guys are going to step
who
up.
Can
so
step
low
up,
expectations,
right.
Keep the bar low, and then who the knows, be surprised if something really cool happens.
Right. So, all right, well, I'll let you get out of here. Thanks for coming on again. Obviously, you can follow Trent. You're at Barstool Trent, correct?
Correct.
At Barstool Trent. Go check out Iowa blogs. You do have an Iowa State writer, though, correct?
Gabe? I do, yeah. He writes every once in a while. It's his writing is – he's not as frequent when there's no Fred Hoiberg. Like, you need a – so he writes purely Iowa State stuff, and you need something. Like, Hoiberg was that perfect. People loved him. He's a good-looking guy. Turned the system around, and now he's in Chicago. So – not too many things going on in Ames these days, except the number 4 team in the country, I guess.
All right, well, thanks for coming on. Again, follow Trent. Follow me at Barstool Reeks. Follow the show at Storm the Court PC. We're doing a monthly pick'em contest. We'll give out a shirt or something like that at the end of the month. Thanks for checking out. Follow the show on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. If you're not going to do that, go fuck yourself, I guess. So thanks again for listening. Trent, thanks again for coming on.